Morant with a running start. Elevates. Ooh. Oh, it ducks. Oh, my goodness. Jonathan. Tie game in overtime. Gasol will turn his heat. It's good. Memphis on top. 17.
Tying out with three. Count it. A 15-point lead for Memphis. And Blake Griffin gets into it on the floor with Randolph. Hard to tell if there are any punches being thrown under there, but Griffin took exception to something. The officials break it up quickly.
Griffin. See, he just locked his arm and then kind of pulled him over. Zach falls down, and then, you know what? A little elbow there.
Oh, he's digging the elbow.
Welcome to Grits and Grinds, a Memphis Grizzlies podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Keith Parrish, and that was an all-time painful defeat for the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm basically calloused as a sports fan, and a lot of times I emotionally prepare for defeats, and I can handle them kind of okay. That was one where I guess I'd lowered the defense. When Grayson Allen went to the line with 2.2 seconds left, like if that hadn't happened and the Mavericks hit a wild game winner, I feel like I would have been upset, but I have enough coping mechanisms from years of watching sports where I think I would have handled it a little bit better. But when Grayson Allen gets that rebound and you're like, all right, the Grizzlies are going to win this game. For a moment, it looked tight. Wasn't sure we were going to pull it out. You know, Kyle hit that three-pointer, and then they were up six. And you're like, all right, this is feeling good. But then the Mavericks cut into it. But then the way the final 35 seconds felt like they were really mismanaged by the Mavericks. They had an opportunity to go 2-for-1. They did not. They waited a little bit too long. So then they were forced to foul the Grizzlies. Then Ja Morant knocks down 2 free throws. Ja Morant, who's been struggling from the line recently, was just hovering around a little over 60% over his past 10 games from the foul line. So Ja knocks down the free throws. And then the Mavericks don't go for three. Also thought the Grizzlies were going to foul on purpose. The Grizzlies didn't end up fouling on purpose. I mean, they did on that play where Jonas got switched onto Doncic. Very, very smart play. But I thought they were actually going to foul again because they had a three-point lead. And there were multiple opportunities when Mavericks players and Doncic had the ball and wasn't looking at the basket or had even gone inside the three-point line where I was like, all right, they're going to foul. And Doncic ends up drawing a two-point foul. I mean, it wasn't necessarily on purpose because that could have been a three-point play. But he gets that two-point foul. He maybe misses the second free throw on purpose. And again, when Grayson Allen comes up with that rebound, it's like, oh, we survived. We survived. And the cruelty of sports, not just that as fans, you know, we let down our guard and then Doncic makes a borderline miraculous shot. I mean, we can call it a miraculous shot. If you want to nitpick, you could say maybe Valanciunas should have done a better job after pressuring the inbounder to get over and be closer to Doncic and maybe to keep him from being able to duck inside. But I mean, Doncic made a floater, a one-handed floater, where he was like, his body was kind of at a 45-degree angle off the ground. It was a ridiculous buzzer beater. And the cruelty, as I was saying, is not just as fans we endure that, and the players endure that. But Grayson Allen was so good this game. I would argue this was the best game Grayson Allen has played on the Grizzlies. I know he's had a game where he scored more, but I think the combination of his total floor game with making all the three-pointers, it was the best game that I felt like I'd ever seen Grayson Allen play. I actually think I watched that 40-point game his rookie year, but that game was the last game of the season. It was meaningless. It was recreational exhibition basketball. This was a meaningful game against the Mavericks. Other players were not playing incredibly well. Grayson Allen was locked in from the first quarter, and it wasn't just first quarter Grayson. He kept playing well. And to have Grayson Allen play maybe the best game of his career, and then as a 91% free throw shooter, miss both free throws. The odds of a 91% free throw shooter missing two consecutive free throws, it's less than 1%. And so Grayson Allen, instead of being the hero of the game, sort of becomes the scapegoat. Although I'm pretty sure everyone who watched the game was just like, well, Grayson was great, and then that's just kind of unlucky. After the game, just a few minutes after the game, actually, Ja Morant tweeted out, if Grizzlies fans are ragging on any of his teammates, that they just need to pick a new team because everyone played their best. So Morant tweets out in defense, certainly, of Grayson Allen missing those two free throws. Kyle Anderson tweets out after the game, you know, no other guy I'd rather have at the line in that situation. I'm going with G 10 out of 10 times. So just a really unfortunate circumstance. The Grizzlies lose a heartbreaker. They lose a big game in the playoff race instead of being 1.5 games behind the Mavericks with the chance to win the season series. They are now 2.5 games behind the Mavericks, which is essentially 3.5 games if you count the fact that now they've lost the tiebreaker. So they can't tie the Mavericks. They have to overcome the Mavericks. So essentially they're 3.5 games behind the Mavericks for the 7 spot. I don't know how many people thought the Grizzlies would catch the Mavericks. You know, probably not many, but this kind of destroys that hope. With just a month left in the season, the Grizzlies have 19 more games. We know they're very packed together. The Grizzlies now go on a 7-game road trip. They finish this 3-game homestand with a, you know, kind of an ugly loss to the Pacers and a disastrous collapse against the Mavericks. They played well. In the post-game press conference, Ja Morant was, he didn't seem torn up about it. He's like, that was a ridiculous shot. I'm paraphrasing. He's saying that was an amazing shot and we played well. We had a good game. You can't get too torn up over guys making miracle buzzer beaters. Comically, in Dillon Brooks' rookie season, the Grizzlies also lost at FedEx Forum on a miracle buzzer beater to the Mavericks. Dillon Brooks was guarding on that play as well. Much like this play, I don't think Dillon could have done anything different. It's just bad luck. And so the Grizzlies now have their work cut out for them. A 7-game road trip, and as we know, the schedule, there's no breaks. They don't get 2 games off ever. Right behind them, the Warriors are a game behind. The Spurs are a game behind. And the Pelicans are 3 games behind. The Grizzlies got a little bit of help on Wednesday night with the Pelicans losing to the Knicks. Also, the Spurs lost. So as long as the Grizzlies, you know, kind of maintain their pace, they're going to make that play in. But it's just a rough defeat. And, you know, in 2 out of their last 4 games, they've had what you would call a bad fourth quarter collapse or a final minute collapse. They were up 6 in this game after the Kyle Anderson 3 in the final 2 minutes. But it was basically the final seconds where, you know, they had victory and they lost it. And then the Knicks maybe fits the definition more of collapse, where they were up 8 in the final 2 minutes and go on to lose that game. So I mentioned Grayson Allen had probably the best game of his career, at least in my estimation, or at least his Grizzlies career. You know, Dillon had a very nice defensive game, although the offense has abandoned him a little bit. He's in one of those lulls, the roller coaster that is Dillon Brooks' season. The last 3 games, this homestand, really struggling from the field. He shot in the 3-game homestand, which is the Pacers game, the Bulls game, and the Mavericks game. Dillon Brooks shot 34% from the field, and the numbers, that's on the most shots on the whole team. 17.7 field goal attempts per game, only made 6 of them. Against the Bulls, I think maybe his worst game, and they won. He was 6-for-19 from the field. But Dillon did a great job hounding Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic finished with 25 points in the second half and made the game winner. But Dillon really made him work. And Luke is one of the best players in the world. And that's just going to happen. I thought Dillon had a very nice defensive game. But the shot has abandoned him. Kyle Anderson, before that clutch 3-pointer from Kyle, that was probably the worst game Kyle Anderson has played all season. And much like Dillon Brooks during the homestand, Kyle Anderson really struggled from the field. He was 9 for 30, which is 30% from the field in the last three games, and 21% from three. Over his last 10 games, Kyle Anderson is 39% from the field. This is a guy who you expect to shoot closer to, you know, 47, 48% overall on his field goals. So Kyle's been in a little bit of a slump. Again, up and down, up and down. He's not a consistent shooter. He is getting the three-pointers up more, which is affecting his field goal percentage because he's not making them. But, so Kyle Anderson had a terrible game. Brandon Clark also still struggling. Brandon Clark, maybe we should get into a little bit. You know, I thought his athleticism looked good earlier in the year, despite his shot being way worse. And his floater percentages and his field goal percentage, his three-point percentage, his free throw percentage, all way down the season. He's at 51% from the field for the season now, and that is problematic. Since his return from injury, Brandon Clark's only averaging 8 points per game. And with 47% field goals, he is 1 for 8 from three since he returned from injury. And again, the 60% field goal percentage, free throw percentage, 60% field goal percentage is what we expected or hoped for, the carryover from last season. But Brandon Clark's really struggling. And I think overall you'd say we knew last year his season was probably unsustainable, but the amount of drop-off, I think, is actually a little bit startling. Maybe I'll get into that a little bit more or try to look deeper into that in a coming episode. A guy who did not struggle during the homestand and continues to carry this team, basically? That's right, it's Jonas Valanciunas. We know Jonas Valanciunas has been destroying it since the All-Star break and basically all season. I mean, career highs for Jonas in points and rebounds this season. He has this franchise record streak of double-doubles going. He now has a career high with 40 double-doubles in the season. He leads the NBA in points rebound double-doubles this season. Over the last three games, though, he's gone into overdrive. And somewhat interestingly, he's done it against other all-star centers. And I know he's not guarded all the time by these guys. It's not an exact one-on-one game or matchup. But facing Sabonis, two-time all-star, facing Nick Vucevic, who I think is a two-time all-star, facing Porzingis, who's an all-star or has made the all-star game before, in this run against those guys, Jonas, with his zero all-star games, has averaged 27 points per game, 17 rebounds per game, has made 67% of his field goals. Also 1.7 blocks per game. Those are just monstrous numbers. And to do it against all-star centers, it's very impressive. Just to do it on its own, it's very, very impressive. And I know sometimes maybe we overemphasize the defensive woes of Valanciunas, his inability to guard on the perimeter at all, his inability to show on a pick and roll coverage, his lack of mobility, but these are overcome all those obstacles, solid numbers. There's no complaints here. He is carrying the Grizzlies because he's cleaning up all of the missed shots. He leads the NBA in second chance scoring. Here's a stat for you. Over the last 10 games, I said Brandon Clark's averaging 8.4 points per game. Over the last 10 games, Jonas Valanciunas is averaging 8.7 second chance points. Valanciunas is scoring more on putbacks than Brandon Clark is scoring, period. You can't blame Jonas for things that have been happening with the Grizzlies' losses recently. I mean, you can nitpick always, and I do, of like, all right, Caris LeVert scored 35 because Jonas isn't covering the pick and rolls very well. But when Jonas is carrying so much of a burden by cleaning up everybody else's mess, the net is undeniably positive. And just impressive stuff from the big fella in the middle. Desmond Bane had another terrific game off the bench. The bench unit's been a little bit more spread out. I think being shorthanded with it not having Melton available and no Justice for all this time. Taylor Jenkins has started almost staggering the bench guys. I've been noticing it. And then Chris Harrington reminded me about it with a tweet last night. But in the game against the Bulls, they almost never had the five bench guys all playing together. They still went 10 deep, but instead of doing like platoons where the bench plays like 5 minutes together per half, they didn't do that against the Bulls at all. They did it in the first half against the Mavericks. They barely did it, just a couple of minutes. In the second half, they actually went to it because I think the bench was playing kind of okay. They had like a 3.5 minute stretch to start the fourth quarter where the Grizzlies did go completely with the bench unit. Maybe they should not have because they did give up 4 points over those 3.5 minutes. But that's something to monitor as the Grizzlies continue to be a little bit shorthanded. How much time are they going to play the entire five-man bench unit? I've argued all the time, I don't understand doing that when guys are out. Like, maybe you believe it's part of your coaching philosophy to have the five bench guys play together and they're a solid unit. But when, you know, a couple of your guys are out who you consider to be your top 10 players, and then you start digging into your 11th best, 12th best, 13th best player, I don't know why they're still. Maybe it's a long-term growth thing for the development of the players, and I think that's the best way to do it. But another little something to monitor. Looking over the notes, Dylan Brooks, you know, again, he struggled, like I said, from the field the last several games as the up-and-down nature of his shooting goes, but he is now leading the Grizzlies in on-off rating. He has surpassed D'Anthony Melton while Melton's been on the sidelines. Dylan Brooks is now number one in on-off net rating for the Grizzlies. The offense is 5 points better when Dylan Brooks is playing, and the defense is 3 points better when he's playing. An on-off net rating, you know, like all the net rating stats, isn't perfect, but normally when you lead your team in that stat, you're doing some good stuff. I mean, maybe the guys coming in behind you are terrible, but we know in the Grizzlies situation, that's not usually the case. So this team is really enjoying the contributions of Dylan Brooks. I was looking into the starting lineup stats because I've been a known critic and or doubter of this current Grizzlies starting lineup. And, you know, over the past 15 games, they have seen their overall net rating just kind of continue to dip and dip. But it hasn't dipped in the ways that I really expected. I mean, they had an unsustainably high defensive rating for a long time. The five-man unit of Ja Morant and Grayson and Dylan and Kyle and Jonas Valanciunas. That's been steadily going up since they kind of peaked at like a defensive rating of 99.5, which would be the best defense in the NBA. They've already fallen to 107 over the past 15 games. And one of the reasons is they've been struggling actually in the first halves. Which is interesting because for the first half of the season, they were dominating people in first quarters and then were really struggling in the second halves. And I was looking into the stats thinking I would see that be highlighted, but this is one where I was wrong. They have actually, in their last 15 games, had a very, very positive second half net rating. And in first halves, they've been bad. Even with the absolute failure of a fourth quarter against the Knicks, the Grizzlies starting lineup, current starting lineup, has been overwhelmingly positive in second halves of games. So maybe that's just everything balancing out, that, you know, the stats from the first half weren't necessarily accurate or descriptive of what it would be over the long term. It also shows just the volatility anytime we look at basically any net rating stats. Even if you get a lot of data, a run here and a run there, or just fluky performances, really can affect those things. So I thought that was interesting. And again, that starting lineup, as bad as they were against the Knicks in the fourth quarter, where they blew a 13-point lead, they were just as good in the fourth quarter against the Bulls on Monday night. Haven't talked a lot about that Bulls game. It was kind of discouraging, I felt, for most of it. You know, Dylan had a bad game again. The Grizzlies were down by 8, like near the end of the third quarter. But then in the fourth quarter, when the Grizzlies starters came in, they just dominated. The Grizzlies held the Bulls to 16 points in that fourth quarter, a really impressive defensive showing. The Bulls didn't really do themselves any favors. They elected to play multiple non-scorers at the same time. And so I think the Grizzlies defense were able to shut that down. I mean, the Bulls, I guess, didn't have one of their best perimeter defenders in Denzel Valentine. And the Bulls are a bit limited outside of LaVine and Vucevic for offense. I mean, they were picking between, do we play rookie Pat Williams or Troy Brown Jr. or Daniel Tice? Like, Satoransky isn't a big offensive player. So the Bulls struggled for offense. It was a very good defensive fourth quarter performance from the Grizzlies. And that somewhat saves what could have been a disastrous last week for the Grizzlies. I mean, there's the one hand, wow, if you don't blow these games against the Knicks and the Mavericks, you're currently sitting pretty and you're feeling great about yourselves. But you do lose those games to the Knicks and the Mavericks. And if it's not for the final fourth quarter rally against the Bulls, it's like, uh-oh, maybe we're not super good. And I'll close with this. This is a stat I found, and I couldn't find exactly where I saw it right before I decided to record this episode. But if you look at the entire NBA and every team's performance against good teams, and in this situation, the good teams were defined as with a net rating of positive 2.0, and then you take out the games where these good teams were missing their top rotation players. So if you just look at, if you look at the standings based on when teams are playing other good teams that are at relatively full strength, the Grizzlies are just 4-13 in these games, which is 25th in the standings of this particular exercise. So it's saying that, yeah, the Grizzlies have done a good job this year of beating the teams they're supposed to beat. They've done a good job of taking advantage of their schedule when they face a team that is missing a good player. And then against the good teams, they're not performing well at all. And losing to teams better than you is not a huge strike against you, but when you do have the 25th best record and or the 6th worst record against good teams, that's not great. So maybe that can help us kind of keep a level head on exactly how good this team is, where they look really, really good at times. And, you know, as a fan, you become biased and thinking like, oh, maybe we're better than we are. And no, the Grizzlies are just kind of a middle of the road team, desperately hoping for a return of Jaren Jackson Jr. to kind of make them whole. We have 15 days left of April. They told us he was coming back in April. And again, the Grizzlies have 19 games left. I'll try to find that exact stat. I'm almost certain I'm recalling it and recounting it correctly, but I guess there's always a chance that I got something wrong or something was lost in translation. Anyway, that is this day's episode. Thank you for checking out the show. Please tell other Grizzlies fans about it. Hope you guys are having a good one. Go Grizz.